And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau was coming, and 400 men with him. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two female servants. And he put the servants with their children in front, then Leah with her children and Rachel and Joseph last of all. He himself went on before them, bowing himself to the ground. And then the last verse or so. Please accept my blessing that it brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, because I have enough. Greetings in Christ to the baptized. This text shows the way of Christian life. It shows the way of how life is as a preacher, lived out among the saints, serving the saints, and giving your life to those next to you and beyond. The pattern is so vividly portrayed in both Testaments, both Old and New. Luther said that God likes to play with the saints. He does so, of course, so that he continue to trust in all, not in their holiness or righteousness, but they explicitly trust in him alone to work all things alone. You see, he alone can save. He alone does save. He has saved you. Now to the biblical text for nourishment. Consider the scene. The once deceiver now approaches the elder. At one time, order of birth determined blessing. So the schemer determined that he, along with his mother, would gain the blessing. God set aside such an order through his choice, his election. And his election always wins the day. Jacob, oh Jacob, the life of faith is so difficult, especially when you're so prone to drift away from the divine promises. But God would not let Jacob go. He would have his son, the Son of God in the pre-incarnate flesh, wrestle all night to steal Jacob for the moment that he would meet his brother. That all-night wrestling match was no match at all if Jacob was going to fight by his old ways of scheming and deceit. But Jacob, spirit-taught and spirit-bestowed, fought by faith. Faith not only conquers the world, but God. For the psalmist says, "For the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love." 147, verse 11. In this night struggle, Jacob exerted his faith far more than his arms, even though the greater wrestler could have conquered the lesser with a mere thought. The greater, Jesus, let Jacob win by faith. I shall cling alone to the word of God and be content with that. God promised offspring through me and the male offspring through me. By it I shall die and by it I shall live. That's the way it is for those who've been made empty and full by God. God is always teaching each of you to see for yourself that he alone is your Lord, and that he exercises his lordship precisely by saving you, redeeming you, cleansing you, watching over you. He is the mother hen brooding over her chicks, and he simply loves to do it. So you see, by the time Jacob meets Esau, he fights explicitly the same way as Jesus wrestled and fought Jacob in the night. In weakness, humility, letting the other have his way with you. He fights the way of the cross, even though Jacob is greater now according to the promise. He by faith assumes the weaker, the less. It is the way of the theologian of the cross. Esau had 400 military men. Jacob fought with his children and wives as the battle warriors. And bowing before his brother. By all human analysis, Esau was the stronger. But God does not go by earthly calculations. And no longer did Jacob, as he lived by faith. He came in the deepest of humility, for God had humbled him and raised him up. Something had been done to Jacob. It was done by God. Therefore, Jacob believed it was not about him, but God and his brother Esau. He let the other's needs take precedent over his own. So Paul writes, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." The text in chapter 33 of Genesis does not state this, but the verses before do, that say that Jacob limped now that God had displaced his hip joint. Admittedly, this is a bit of speculation, but could it be that Jacob limped as he approached his brother, and thus a vivid reminder of his own weakness made strong in the perfect strength of God? Some have speculated that Paul's thorn in the flesh was not some kind of physical malady, but it was his divine call. God humbled Paul by this difficult call, thus causing Paul to trust not in his great intellect, but only in Jesus. Jesus only. Who knows what God has planned for each and every one of you this day and in the future? A difficult divine call? But this you know, he won't let you go. He mothers you, exposing the false gods that you so readily fabricate each and every day. He will so order your life that he will train you the way of righteousness, that is, the way of simple faith and trust in him. For God preaches throughout Scripture, and even through Habakkuk, the righteous shall live by his faith. Faith in his faith. Faith in Christ's obedient life, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. By God handling you this way, he continually exposes a deceitful scheming that comes so easily and brings you to himself. You are and forever remain the baptized, and therefore you walk in humility. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in faith in Jesus Christ alone. Amen.